This is Sports Jam. I'm Doug Doyle. Fanzo is a digital platform that brings fans together to create unforgettable memories at the best sports bars and venues around the world. Fanzo is officially launched in North America. The technology links brands, rights holders, broadcasters, and fans with commercial venues. And here to talk all about it today is the CEO and co-founder of Fanzo, Leo McLehose. Welcome to Sports Jam, Leo.
Thanks, Doug. Great to be here.
Joining us from the south of France, you are part French.
I am part French, yeah, for my sins. I'm half French, half Scottish. Doug, can I kick off with a question for you?
Absolutely.
What's your favorite memory as a sports fan?
My favorite memory would be watching probably the first time the Pittsburgh Penguins won the Stanley Cup.
Where were you and who were you with?
I was, it's a great question. Who was I with? I can't even remember who I was with. I was so shocked that we would ever get to winning the Stanley Cup, but I do know it was on television and probably the best sports event that I ever went to would be a game that the team I was rooting for lost. It's called, in college football, it's called the Bush Push. It's when USC defeated Notre Dame at Notre Dame Stadium and Reggie Bush pushed Matt Leinart over the goal line with time running out. And USC and Notre Dame were both great teams at the time. So the Irish lost, but they had thought they had won on the play before. Everybody started to run onto the field, and they had to put everybody back and say, no, there's still time on the clock.
Leinart going to try to sneak it ahead.
He got in.
Touchdown, SC! Two heavyweights of the college football world. Two of the best programs in all of college football. 11 national championships each way. Locked up in an instant classic here at Notre Dame Stadium today.
Now that play, Leo, has been outlawed in college football. You're not allowed to push the quarterback. So that's probably the greatest sporting event because it was so loud in that stadium.
And you were there?
I was there. We were in the opposite end zone with my dad and my brother. And as soon as I looked over at my brother and I said, we have a chance to win this game. That's when USC drove all the way down and eventually got the winning touchdown. So that's the best game I think I've ever seen in person.
That's so fun. The reason I ask is because I've asked that question maybe 4,000 times, but I always get to such amazing answers from the world of global sport, but it reminds me that really sport is a vehicle via which we get to create social connection and enjoy. You know, sport in isolation is somewhat meaningless. It's about, you know, being together. And I think when you were talking just earlier about what Fanzo is here to do, which is to help fans create unforgettable sporting memories, it's those, right? It's the memories that we have. And I also have a very, very fond memory, strangely, of a time that we lost when we were in the World Cup final in FIFA World Cup football, soccer, back in 2006. And Zidane, who's a kind of world legend, was playing his last ever game, and then he got a red card and got sent off for headbutting another guy, which was a very strange thing for him to do. But it was kind of the total misery of that moment. Yeah, not even Shakespeare could have written Zidane doing that in that moment in his last ever game, and it kind of speaks to the total theater that is sport that no one could ever script.
His attention has been brought to it by the other officials on the touchline. And Dominic applauds ironically. And they can't argue with the decision. But what had gone on before? Zidane is off in his final game, and that is the end of his career. Well, there's what preceded it. Materazzi just put an arm round him. There was nothing more than an exchange of a few words. Well, what was said, that was ridiculous. Absolutely inexcusable.
Wow. So it is the perfect time for Fanzone to be launching in North America, not only with the FIFA World Cup, here in the United States, but also the fact that you have the Olympics coming up in 2028 in LA. But before we get to that, I always like to get into a little of the history. And Leo McLaughlin is a former rugby player at the University of Manchester. Tell us about that.
So you won't know much about the University of Manchester, but it's up north in the UK, and there were a lot of big people back there. I used to play quite a lot of rugby in France, where people were quite nimble and slight, whereas that really wasn't the case in Manchester. In the first few games, I realized that my opposite numbers had biceps the size of my head, and so it was a pretty violent affair. But enjoyable nonetheless. I think I actually learned a lot from playing rugby and playing team sport in general. I think team sport teaches you the power of the collective as opposed to the individual, which I think is a key part of running a business.
I've had a few rugby players here on Sports Gym, and I want to say that the size, I looked like I was their grandson when I stood next to them, right? Unbelievable. So the point being, you're a tough guy, Leo. You have to be to play rugby. And so you love sports. You and your business partner, Don Collingwood, started Fanzo in 2012. Tell us how it actually works.
Yeah, so Fanzo is a platform that helps sports fans find great venues where they can watch any sports event that they want to watch, right? You're in Melbourne, you're in Australia, want to watch the Super Bowl. It tells you which bars around you are showing which game, and you can book tables and invite your friends, and that's kind of what we do for sports fans. I guess the business has two sides to it. One, you might call a little bit like the OpenTable or the Resy for sports bars. So we have about 50,000 venues globally who use our platform. So when I say venues, I mean bars, restaurants, fan zones who use our platform to organize, market, and measure all their sports content, right? So you're a bar in Atlanta or you're a bar in Dallas. Sport is a really expensive asset. All of these subscriptions you need to get, DirecTVs, the Verizons, the Everpasses, the Johan Promotions of this world. We provide all of the tools around that to help bars and restaurants and venues organize all that sports content, know which games they're going to show, kind of optimize that sports schedule, and then make sure that it goes to every place that matters. Make sure all your staff know which games you're showing, what channels they're on, and then help you with all the marketing, right? So make sure that we power your website so that on your website is all the games you're going to be showing. Make sure we power your social media so that on your Instagram, your Facebook, your Twitter, there's all of your updated number of events, because at the end of the day, you're trying to bring patrons back into your venue, and then also help you measure and understand, how you're in venue screens, but understand what games are working and what games aren't. Try and recruit those kind of local fan clubs, do some watch parties and the like. And then the second part of our business is really about activating this out of home sports fan audience. There are three places you can watch sport, right? The stadium, incredible in terms of experience and in terms of kind of optimizing the value of that sports fan. You're selling them tickets, you've got their data, you've selling them merchandise and food, drink, great. But you can only fit 70,000 fans into the MetLife for the World Cup final in July. And they have to be in New York. Whereas the home is great in terms of scale. Formula One, I had a meeting with not long ago, and they were talking to me about the fact that they have, 1 billion fans. But they don't have much more than a 1% of those fans in their CRM. Great reach in terms of television at home, but not really that kind of value and depth of the relationship. There's this third space, everyone who's in pubs, bars, fan zones around the world who are having an incredibly strong experience of watching those sports events, but no one has any data on these people, and no one has real means of engaging that fan base. And that's really what Fanzo is doing in that second bit, is we help the likes of Anheuser-Busch, Michelob Ultra, Guinness, et cetera, kind of activate their sponsorships of the Premier League, of the World Cup, of World Rugby, of World Cups, of Six Nations. That's kind of what we're doing for brands and rights holders.
You're right when it comes to if you can go to a venue and you can have fans who are rooting against you, who are rooting with you, It makes an incredible experience, and friendships can actually develop from these experiences as well. I'm sure a lot of the people that you have dealt with have said, you know, people become lifelong friends because they go to the same place to watch their team all the time.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I really do believe that sport is a vehicle via which we create these social connections. I've often thought to myself this question of, you know, why do we get so attached to sport, right? Why do we think about it all the time? And I think it is really a sense of belonging. People want that sense of belonging, and you know, what better than to be, you know, an Eagles fan or a Manchester United fan and go through the highs and the lows, and it's just as powerful to feel those moments of pure joy and ecstasy as it is to have those shared moments of misery, right? The ones that you were talking about where your team lost, and the one I was referencing when Zidane nutted Materazzi and we lost to Italy in the World Cup final in 2006.
With the World Cup coming into play, as I mentioned, it's a perfect time for fans, though, to be here in North America. But global is part of the sports landscape completely. I mean, we have players like Wemby in the NBA who, you know, who are dominating, and some of the greatest NBA players, you know, are not from the United States, obviously. And of course, with soccer, and as you refer to it, obviously it's football, right? We know that, you know, the greatest teams on the men's side, at least, are certainly not from the United States. And we see this influx of great players from all these other countries coming into the sport. And we see the NFL branching out to Germany and to other spots. I think we've all finally realized we're all in this together, right?
Yeah, it's a great point, Doug. I think sport is really truly a global language. I was reminded of going to the 2018 World Cup. I've been to a lot of these tournaments, and I'm just the number of fans, you know, Peruvian fans who were in Russia, who were having an amazing time. And you know, there are so many differences we like to talk about in terms of people, and particularly in this day and age. But I think that concept of global fandom is the same for so many people. I love to see the way that fans have a relationship with their team in Brazil or their team in Australia or across all of these different codes and these different sports. And it's this, yeah, there's a very shared passion there that we can all engage with. So yes, absolutely, on the fan side and obviously on the player side, yes, this is going to be a great festival of football. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how the US hosts this big global event.
Banzo has already had great success in the UK, Europe, Australia, New Zealand, New Guinea, and neighboring islands. But it takes money. And a lot of people want to be entrepreneurs, Leo, but not many of them are successful. You are. You are successful. So how much pride do you take in this company that you started in 2012 now has reached a level where you're getting major investment?
Doug, it's a good question. I don't spend a lot of time, I guess, resting on the laurels, or probably not enough time celebrating, you know, the elements. I will say I absolutely love what I do, and the company and all of the team that we have all do as well. I put it down to three things. One, I get to work with just amazing people. And we work in an industry, Doug, where people are truly passionate about what they're talking about. When we just, yeah, you know, when I asked you that first question at the beginning about what your favorite sports memory is, that, you know, reflected. I love that. I love the answer to that question. I love hearing about people's passion for people, and people often look top left and think about this long memory when they were a child. That's so fun that we get to work in an industry where people are like truly care about what we're talking about. And then secondly, I get to work with people, you know, inside the business. I'm surrounded by people that I truly love, and I think we don't talk enough about the importance of the time that we share with other people, and that includes work. And then three, we're global leaders in what we do. And that's quite fun. We're not copying anybody else. We're really forging our own path. And yeah, that has become successful over time. And I'll be honest, I've been at this for 15 years with my co-founder, Dom. And we've grown this business across many countries. And that, I am proud of that. But I'm also kind of aware of the amount of time and energy that everyone has put into this. And the time is also a key part of that success. I think we're always told you need to start a business, have exponential growth and then sell 3-4 years later. And I don't think enough is said about the hard yards and the time and the commitment and the not giving up, which wasn't difficult to do with our business because I really love what we're doing.
I can tell you're a people person. One reason is you're the first person in more than 500 episodes of Sports Jam since 2008 that asked me the question first. So I can tell that, that you're used to engaging with people. Where are the best sports bars around the world?
This is a great question, Doug. And you know what? There's some times in the business where we'll be doing strategy sessions with the entire company and we'll be doing big ideas. And then so many people, I can't tell you how many times, Doug, over the last 15 years where someone in the business has said, we should open our own sports bar. Because if we open our own sports bar, we can make the greatest ever sports bar. And we never have. And there's a good reason for that, Doug, is that I don't think there is the perfect sports bar. I think there's a perfect sports bar for everybody, right? And that is a different thing for different people. Someone wants a huge screen with 10,000 people in the venue and this kind of, people want like the recent bars that are in Dallas and LA where you've got a kind of pitch side experience, Cosm, or, the small bar where you're surrounded by all the people that you love and, a particular type of craft beer or, actually, the perfect sports bar is a different thing to every person. And so I guess the answer is everywhere. It depends on who you are and where you are. And we want to find you the best sports bar for who you are and personalize that experience to you.
Well, can I at least ask you what's your favorite sports bar?
Great question. My favorite sports bar is probably the Regent. It's a bar that I worked at when I was 18. It was one of my first jobs, and it's actually where I started to get the idea for this business, and it taught me a lot. And it's just one of those great sports bars where when sport isn't showing, you wouldn't know it's a sports bar. And then when sport is showing, they bring down two big projectors and everyone's facing the same direction and everyone's having that shared experience. It's a great place and they serve great pizzas and they're good people.
Did you have any idea though? When sometimes these ideas, you think, oh, this is something that we need. You have any idea that it would be growing to this magnitude?
I guess. Do you know what? Yes. When you get to where we are now, and you look back down, and you go like, "Wow, that is a lot." At the time when you start a business, I think I was particularly young at the time. It's just a small step. Everything's a small step that you take. And then once you've taken 500 steps and you look down the hill and you're like, wow, we actually have climbed quite a lot. I, of course, have always had a big ambition about where this could go. And I still have a big ambition about how much further we're going to go. And I think you need that North Star to go and drive towards it and see the summit. But it's the journey that's really enjoyable. Like getting to the summit isn't the reward. It's the journey with the people you get to take along with you.
When it comes to the Sports TV Guide, you've hooked up with Sports TV Guide. Can you explain how that makes a difference for FanZone?
Yes, an amazing business. Sports TV Guide, founded 17 years ago by a guy called Andrew Jaffe. Much loved by many sports bars, over 5,000 sports bars in the U.S., who use this platform to organize their sports content. It's a great guide. If you're a bar in Atlanta versus a bar in LA versus a bar in Michigan, different channels for different sports events and the amount of sport there is on in the US is just, it is wild. And it's an incredibly engaged audience of sports bars that made this the perfect acquisition and also a great partnership. Andrew is maybe the most knowledgeable person in this industry in terms of knowing sports bars in the US. he's been working on this business for 17 years, but has also been working in the hospitality industry for many decades before that in the US. And so this has become a huge platform for us to, you know, acquire in one go 5,000 customers in the bars, via which as a launch pad, but also have an amazing person that we could have on our team fighting our corner who really, yeah, you can't buy that level of knowledge.
So who was it at King's School Canterbury that made a difference to Leo Macklow?
Great question. I think there's many different answers to that. I think I will say that after King's Canterbury, I went to university in Manchester, and this is where Fanzo started, or Match Pint at the time. I had one of my modules was to write a business plan, and I'd had this idea for a couple of years, and I started to write the business plan for what was Match Pint, now Fanzo. And my lecturer at the time said to me, "This is not a terrible idea. You should probably take this forwards." In terms of the people at King's, well, yeah, if I hadn't been at King's Canterbury, I wouldn't have met my co-founder Dom. And if I didn't have my co-founder Dom, I'll be straight, Doug, we wouldn't be where we are. We wouldn't be here.
That's a long partnership to begin with. Is it always a good relationship between the two of you business-wise when it comes to sorting things out, or is it normal? You have your ups and downs with your business partner.
Dom is genuinely the best person in out there in the world. So I there's not a, he's my business partner. He's my therapist. He's my, and he's my best friend. Do you know what, if you're running a business with your best friend, you, whenever anything ever gets difficult in business, the thing is that you need to do is probably go and sit down with your best friend and talk it through, maybe go to the pub and have a beer. And so that was the, however bad it got, all I had to do was go for a beer with my best friend. So it's not that bad.
There's going to be some amazing venues, especially in the Ironbound section of Newark, when it comes to the World Cup, famous for their wonderful restaurants and Portuguese, and Portugal has a good chance. But who do you think's going to win the World Cup this year?
Doug, it's a very simple answer. It's my hometown. It's France. We have been in four of the last seven World Cup finals, and we've won two of them. And we are coming to this tournament with one of the great teams. Now, I say that out of both hope and light expectation, but there are so many good teams coming to this tournament. I think Spain have got a great chance. I think England probably have a good chance. And then Argentina just won the last World Cup, and you can never count out the likes of Brazil. I don't think the USA is going to win this World Cup, but yeah, never say never.
What is it about the French when it comes to football being one of the top areas? What is it? I mean, you're half French. You have that relationship. What is it about France?
Ooh, I've had many conversations on this topic with some of my friends. I actually think there's something about this concept of nationalism, that there are certain countries that you see, like New Zealand, when it comes to rugby, who have a population, I'm going to get this wrong, but I think it's less than 9 million, might even be 4.5. Tiny country, yet an absolute powerhouse on the world rugby stage. And what is that about? I think it's about a national identity. It's about real passion. When it gets really tough in a game, do you really care? Are you going to put yourself on the line? Mbappe, one of the best football players in the France team, captain, said something really beautiful just before the 2018 World Cup. I think he was 19 or 20, and it was his first World Cup. And he said, "It's all great playing for your club. Yeah, it's great. You have so many fans, whatever. When you play for your country, you have a chance to put a smile on everyone's face. If we win the World Cup, the next day, the pastry chef going into work at 4 a.m. is going to wake up, and they're going to be walking to the office, and they're going to have a big smile. Not even if they're not a football fan, but their country, yeah, won the Football World Cup." And I think it's that kind of energy that makes me feel like that's the foundations of why France, does so well.
In for Kylian Mbappe now. Mbappe!
And this is a solo effort from Mbappe. Just watch, creates a little bit of space. It comes back the other way. Learn the name, know the face. This is your next global superstar right here. Kylian Mbappe, 19 years old. And he has scored in a World Cup final.
You have an outside perspective, so I have to ask you, what do other countries think about U.S. when it comes to football, soccer?
Listen,
you can be honest, Leo.
Doug, you can see me calculating an answer here. Listen, Doug, I think the U.S. has a lot of sports. It has American football. It has the NBA. It has baseball. Is soccer the most important sport in the U.S.? No. Is it the fastest growing sport in the U.S.? Yes. And I think this World Cup has an opportunity to be a real catalyst and light the fire, and for fans, you know, who weren't around the last time the U.S. were hosting these kind of tournaments, that could really see the passion that's associated with this and might end up driving real interests, further interests that will go and grow the grassroots level of soccer in the U.S. and get more players playing. A lot of the Hispanic contingent in the U.S. who absolutely love soccer. And maybe this time in 4 years, in 8 years, in 12 years, really start competing. But as we said, Doug, anything can happen. They could go far in this tournament.
Speaking of going far, how far can Fanzo go? I mean, what would you be satisfied and said, yes, I've accomplished my goal?
Every sports fan in the world, when they want to have a great sports experience and they can't go to the stadium, is thinking, I'm going to use Fanzo. This is a really untapped segment of the ever-growing sports industry, and I think Fanzo has a really key part to play in the growth of all sport. And yeah, I really want to unlock those amazing, unforgettable sporting memories that, you know, we have had so many of, but I want many future memories that, will form my life as a sports fan.
Is it a simple process? Do we just download Fanzo?
Yeah. As a fan, you download Fanzo. You can go to fanzo.com. We have over 6 million fans who use Fanzo every year, and I suspect that will greatly increase now that we're in the US. And then as a sports bar or as a sports rights holder, please go to Fanzo and check out our about page and tell you all about what we can do for you.
Seems like if you're not on the app, you're missing out.
That's exactly right, Doug.
Yeah. And I'm not associated with Fanzo. It's just a comment.
Thanks, Doug.
All right. So where are you going to be for the finals of the World Cup?
Hopefully at the MetLife. Okay. I'll be in the US most of the next couple of months, and very much looking forward to feeling the energy of the tournament and speaking to fans in bars and in the stadium.
Just one issue that has come up as far as, you know, parking around MetLife Stadium and the ticket price of mass transit to get there, and that that's not going to really deter the huge World Cup fans, is it?
Doug, it's a good point. It's a good point you make. Listen, in the lead up to every FIFA World Cup, there has been complications, some level of negative press. I won't go into the reasons why, like, you know, obviously Russia and the Qatar World Cup had its speed bumps. That's no less different for the US, and we know that there's been issues with certain fans coming into the country. Once the tournament starts and people start feeling that electricity and people start feeling the energy of the tournament, I very much hope that we'll be moving on to the really passionate phase. And sport should be accessible to everybody. And if people can't afford to go to stadiums and get tickets, et cetera, you know what? There's a great experience to be had in sports bars up and down the US. And people will be putting on a great experience. And that will have the same level of energy and passion and social camaraderie that you can get in the stadium. And so that's actually exciting for us.
You mentioned the key word when it comes to soccer, football, however you refer to it, is accessibility. It's the great sport where they just roll the ball out, and you could be in Ethiopia, you could be in Australia, and you could be in the United States, and you can play a great game. That all you need is a ball, and you need a little bit of a field, and you're ready to go. So it's been great talking to you, Leo. This is exciting stuff now with Fanzo in North America. One last question. You say that France is going to win the World Cup, and they're in the finals, right? Say if they're in the finals, and it's what are you wearing in the stands?
Usually a France top, and then maybe a little bit of a France flag on the cheeks, and then just making a lot of noise.
Sounds good. Leo McMahose, who is the CEO and chairman and the co-founder of this app that you have to definitely try out, Fanzo, that is making a difference across the world now when it comes to the atmosphere of watching a game at the best sports bars and venues around the world. Leo, it's been a pleasure having you on Sports Den. Continued success.
Thank you very much, Doug. Great to meet you.
Sports Jam is a WBGO Studios production. You can hear all the past shows by going to WBGO.org/Sports Jam or WBGO.org/studios. You can also find Sports Jam with Doug Doyle on the NPR list of podcasts or wherever you hear podcasts. Sports Jam has just been selected by the New Jersey Society of Professional Journalists as the best podcast in New Jersey. Special thanks going out this week to Joe Favorito for hooking us up with Fanzo's Leo McLahose. Until our next Sports Jam session, I'll see you at the game.